edu. Scroll down to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Tuned in today, looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the things that we're talking about. We're talking about 3 things that we need to know. Now there are dozens. I boiled it down, in my view, of the 3 major things that affect Americans today, the 3 major things that affect our churches today, the 3 major things that affect the future of America today, the 3 major things that I believe every Christian conservative and every patriot ought to be concerned about. We're talking about the 2020 election fraud just now being uncovered, admitted by some of the states and state officials, especially in the state of Georgia. We're talking about the Somalian fraud that's taking place in Minnesota today, and Tim Walz not wanting to talk about it, look at it, or investigate it at all. We're talking about Islamic takeover in America while Americans sleep, while Americans continue to think everything will be all right, everything will work out. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as I have several times in the past years, in fact, I've been talking about the dangers of Islam for about 22 years in relationship to where it's going. I've had the privilege of publishing 2 books on the subject, 124 chapters with 325 pages, the other about 150 pages with about 7 chapters in it. I recommend them to you. You can go online for the conservative book store that is CTU, Conservative Theological University. It's called conservative.edu, and scroll down to the bookstore. We have several, not just those that I've had the privilege of publishing, but several. In fact, may I say this? I believe that in our campus bookstore, we have more books on the dangers and talking about the origin and the dangers of Islam than any other place you'll find in the state of Florida. So if you're interested in that study, if you're interested in what is taking place and where we're going in America, being asleep at the wheel with that taking place, that speaking of Islam and its dangers, then I'd love to have you go and select some books and buy them. So ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about those 3 things that I believe we need to know, the election fraud, the Somalian fraud, and the Islamic takeover of America, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, I'm going to tell you, it's hypocrisy. When you cannot get a trial, when Trump said, hey, this is a fraud, it's hypocrisy. They was like, oh, no, well. And I just want to put this footnote in. Okay, Crazy Joe elected a Supreme Court woman, and she said, she was asked the question, how did you find a woman? And you're a woman. And she said, I'm not a biologist or whatever. So how in the heck you don't know you're a woman?
If it weren't so stupid, if it weren't so sad, you could cry about it. But it's laughable to think that. And the thing is, Kenneth, that has bothered me since, is that we didn't have enough Republicans that had brains enough, smarts enough, or any integrity enough to reject her completely. But we had some Republicans went along with it in the Senate, went along with it, and voted to approve her to sit on the bench. And just about every case that's come up since she got on the bench, U.S. Supreme Court, every case that's come up that had any question about it, she would try to turn it into a race issue. She'd try to turn it into a Democrat versus Republican issue rather than going by the four corners of the Constitution. So that is the sad, sad scenario that we're living in today. And the problem is, when we look at it, many are not aware of this, that the major, major, major things that Obama and Biden did succeed in doing, and that was to spike the courts across the nation with the leftist judges that's making the decision. This is the reason and to Trump's 1 year in office. Some 500 plus suits have been filed against the Trump administration and all of those in his cabinet and those in his orbit that is working to try to clean up America, clear it up, and make it prosperous and make it safe. At least one of the anchors on CNN just in the past week admitted, I find it fascinating, admitted publicly that Trump was successful in sealing the border. I was almost fell out of my chair when I heard them say that. That Trump did succeed in closing the border. I would have never dreamed that anything on the Communist Network News would announce that. But by the way, for those that may not realize it, the CNN network is faltering and falling. It's up for sale. And who is it? Elon Musk has a friend of his that would like to buy it, that Musk is going to fund it, and this other person that buys it has already made the statement he's going to clean house if he's successful in buying it. So we need to pray that God will intervene and let somebody else own CNN.
Dr. Youngblood, can I say this right quick?
Yes, sir.
Off the line?
Yes.
Okay. The Muslims are outnumbering us because we give our kids, if you think you're a female or male, I don't care if you're 5 or 6 years old, but I'm glad Trump stopped that mess. And Brother Kennedy, I call him Brother Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, say no more federal funding for kids. Because number one, you're a kid. You don't know if you're black, white, straight, or gay.
Right. Well, one of the major things that we're finding today, Kenneth, is that we have the right things that's called wrong and the wrong things that are called right. Isaiah 5:20 said that would happen, that evil be called good and good would be called evil. We're at the very center of that today in our nation. But going back for a moment before I let you go, the article, Secretary of State says the 2020 election blunder does not erase the votes. This is talking about now the Georgia votes. One, it says 5 years ago, the 2020 election challenges in Georgia continued to dispute multiple audits. And it goes on to say, after this entire article about this, validating that the election was stolen, validating that thieves inside the voting, counting, certifying portion of the agency in the state of Georgia lied about it. And now the statement is, and I'll summarize it, this Raffensperger, Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State at the time, addressed these accusations on social media, and he said it doesn't change the election, doesn't change the laws, but however, all of those that were involved then, they're no longer involved in the election process in the state of Georgia. But one individual says this, his name is Collins, he's running for U.S. Senator out of Georgia, says President Trump is owed a massive apology. Turns out over 300,000 early votes in the 2020 election were illegally certified but still included in the final tabulation, end quote. I think that summarizes all we need to know. But it's a matter of fact that we were called conspiracists. We were told by the Marxist media, we were told by the political left that somehow, some way, we just weren't seeing it right, we weren't listening right, we were biased in our opinions, et cetera, et cetera. This sort of thing took place in the five states where makes the determination the end results for an election for a president. And now finally the truth is coming out. It doesn't do anything about changing the 2020 election, but it validates every one of us that were called conspirators and every one of us Christians, conservatives, and patriots that saw the handwriting on the wall, recognized what was taking place, and called it out for what it was. Now we're being vindicated, and facts are coming out to vindicate us in that. So Kenneth, it reminds us, should remind us, that we need to keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for calling, and God bless you as we look forward to the next few days where we go into the new year. I pray that you'll have a blessed new year as we go into that time frame in our lives across the nation and around the world. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're talking about the 2020 election fraud. We're talking about the Somalian fraud. We're talking about the Islamic takeover in America. And those three things have merging aspects of it that I think we need to understand and recognize. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. I'd love to have your response to that. What if you were to steal $1,000? Or let's just back up. What if you would fraudulently put something on your IRS report and show that, you made $10,000, you actually made $1 million? What would happen to you as a conservative, as a Christian, as an American citizen? How would that be handled if it were just $100,000, if it were just $100? I know what you're thinking. You would be prosecuted for it. And yet we have those in Minnesota by the thousands that are raping the system of at least $9 billion that's been discovered so far. And yet the governor and the lieutenant governor are doing nothing. I'm looking at the headline that should grasp our attention. This is words now from the lieutenant governor in the state of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan. Let me read the headline. We're with you. Minnesota lieutenant governor pandering to Somali to the next level. I know that she's with a Somalian Islamic with her hijab on. So the lieutenant governor in the state of Minnesota puts on an Islamic hijab to stand with her. She says, I know that things are scary right now for you, and just know that there are more people who are looking out for you. More people looking out for you, and she's the lieutenant governor. More people looking out for you. There are more people who are here to support you than you really know. Then the article reads, this is dated the 28th. Democratic Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan praised Somali migrants in the state during a visit to a market in a video posted on YouTube just Thursday. President Donald Trump announced in November that he would end temporary protective status for Somalis in the state response to the allegations of welfare fraud and said the influx of refugees had destroyed our country. Flanagan, that's the lieutenant governor now, who wore hijab, a head covering worn by Somali women during her visit to the market, held a microphone during the video posted by Somali television in Minnesota. My name is Peggy Flanagan, she says. I'm the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, and I'm really honored and humbled to be here with you today. Flanagan said, I am incredibly clear that Somali community is part of the fabric of the state of Minnesota. I think about my friendship with NIMCO, N-I-M-C-O, NIMCO, which is the woman she was talking with. So I want to just encourage the entire Somali community to know that we're with you, we stand with you, we've got your back, end quote. Further in the article it says, United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement is surging into Minneapolis area to target illegal immigration from Somalia after revelations involving at least $1 billion in fraud. By the way, this article is, even though it's a late date article, it is not correct completely. There's a total, last reported numbers, $9.13 billion that's been stolen from the state and the federal government coffers by the smart Somalis that know how to outsmart the government system. It says here, at least $1 billion in fraud, with the Treasury Department investigating allegations that some of the proceeds from the scheme went to radical Islamic terrorist groups, Al-Shabaab and others. Estimates of the fraud have been increased now to $9 billion, according to the federal officials, noting the multiple programs that were targeted. And it goes on to talk about Tim Walz as governor engaging with a retaliation against the federal government and the investigation of the fraud. Now, I don't understand that. I recognize it. I realize it. But it takes stupidity, infinitum, for a governor to take that position. When it is factual, it's real, it's being uncovered, the onion's being peeled more and more every day to validate that. So, ladies and gentlemen, How should you respond? How should we respond? What should be done? Let's use the same measure. If it were you or me or others that are citizens in America robbing the system, what should be done? We would be prosecuted without any question. But yet there's a mindset by the leadership in Minnesota that they ought not to be prosecuted. They ought to be pitied. They ought to be embracing. In fact, one of the reporters, I watched a television, online media video where real estate broker, female real estate broker, said that in many of the Somalia communities, on one occasion, they had bought up 455 houses. Where'd the money come from? It's come from fraudulent paperwork, fraudulent loans being gained and gathered. And those 455 homes that they have bought, they've set them up. This is just one Somalian community. 455 residences, homes, now being set up and signs put out that it's daycare, child care, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some for veterans' children, some set up for unable children or disabled children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So evidently, ladies and gentlemen, best I can guesstimate on that is that it's easy to lie and get the monies streaming into your bank account if that's what it's for children. In fact, this real estate broker said on the video footage that I watched, she said that in every one of those so-called child care centers that's been set up and funded, they have a list of kids that do not do not exist. They have a list of fees that do not exist, but they send in their filing each month, and they get the check back by the millions every month. And yet she said the telltale sign was that after these signs went up, after these homes were set up as child care centers, that the most expensive automobiles that money could buy wound up being found in the driveways of these different buildings that supposedly are child care centers. And she went on to name them. She said the Mercedes, the BMWs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, they're the ones parked in the driveways. That's a telltale sign, she said, to indicate the problem. She said she's had calls from people wanting to know, well, why is that house, why are the windows blacked out? Is that house for sale? Can I buy that house? And she has to tell them, nope, it's already been bought by the Somalis, and it's set up as a daycare. Now, on the face of it, it should be recognized as total fraudulent. But, ladies and gentlemen, the governor and the lieutenant governor are simply rejecting anything that will be reality. But listen very carefully. The bottom line in my book, as I view it and as I put the pieces together, the Somalis are coming out of Islamic background, still Islamic, coming into America. They will not assimilate. They colonize, and they do not want to assimilate. They want to ultimately dominate. And listen, in America, the Islamic domination is on the fast track, FAST, fast track. And I've got document after document after document by the thousands of documents to validate what I'm saying to you. In fact, I'm looking at one article that says Muslims will control America. Muslims in America are on the road to running the government of the United States. At least that was the clarion message from one editor and publisher of the Arab News, Arab American newspaper, speaking in Islamic centers of America in Dearborn, Michigan, just last month. We have the best that we can offer to the United I laugh when the Muslims say we have the best that we can offer to the United States of America. Not only in Michigan, but across the country, and we're offering our best. The best is yet to come. Listen to this. I can be very confident to tell you that we are on the road to the White House, to Congress, to the decision-making center in the United States of America. He goes further in saying this. 40 years ago, we had a mayor for this town who talked about the Arab problem. Guess what? The Arabs are now ruling Dearborn, Michigan, Dearborn Heights, and other places in Michigan. So, brothers and sisters, we're on the road of controlling the United States of America. They publish it. They're not ashamed of it. They're not embarrassed by it. They're not fearful of retaliation from Americans because we are asleep at the wheel. And why should that make a difference for the Christian, for the conservatives? Why should it make a difference? Because, ladies and gentlemen, every city, every state, every nation where Islam dominates, where Islam takes over, the Christian voice is smothered. The Christian voices refuse to be heard. In the UK now, in London, and most of Europe, and many, many, many other places across the globe, ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as freedom of speech. We are priding ourselves in having freedom of speech. We do not know how close we are in America of losing our Bill of Rights, because once the Islamics come into control in the political system in any city, any state, any nation where they come into control, it's dominated, and Islam means submission. It's either submit or die. Submit or be beheaded. Submit or be taxed out so that you cannot stay. Submit or leave. Just as a little town just outside the outskirts of Dearborn, Michigan, just a few weeks ago, a Christian pastor just asked the question, evidently online, about why are some of the streets being renamed to Islamic martyrs. The mayor of that town told him to get out of town, that he's not welcome, and that the city would put on a parade at the city's expense the day that he leaves town. That was a Christian citizen that was told that. The mindset is, ladies and gentlemen, just as in London, where a pastor there asked the question about some of the Islamic movements that were taking place. He was convicted and sentenced to 4 years in jail as a result of just asking the question. So where's the freedom of speech? Where's the religious liberties once Islam comes in? I'm looking at a headline, gives you an indication, ladies and gentlemen, of the dangers that's before America. And as we launch into this brand new year, I think it's time for us to recognize these things that are taking place. Recognize and understand the election fraud in 2020. Recognize the Somalian fraud and understand that it's not just isolated to Minneapolis or to other places, Michigan, etc., New York, not just limited to those. It's a push now. In fact, the Islamists have already said, we're going to take Texas. There's a push to dominate in Texas today. But this article reads, jihadists kidnap dozens, religious persecution in Nigeria. Another brutal attack that struck Nigeria, etc. So, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We look forward to your call, dialogue, and discussion on the issues we're talking about today, the 2020 election fraud, the Somalian fraud, the Islamic takeover that's taking place in America today. And understand this. I'm looking at this article. It says jihadist kidnap, religious persecution in Nigeria. Listen to this. America must not ignore this. Our founders believed in defending liberty, not just for ourselves, but as a light to the world. We cannot pretend these attacks don't concern us. They do. When religious freedom is attacked anywhere, it threatens people of faith everywhere. President Trump understands this truth. That's why during his first term, he stood strong in defense of persecuted Christians and called out nations like Nigeria for their failures. Now, with President Trump back in office, we must push for bold action. The United States should cut off all foreign aid to Nigeria until it takes real steps to stop these attacks and prosecute Christian citizens. And ladies and gentlemen, Trump has just started that move in northern portion of Nigeria, where he wiped out dozens, maybe hundreds, I don't know the number, of those that we were by drone were able to wipe out, simply because they continue to destroy Christians. And ladies and gentlemen, one footnote before we take our next caller. That footnote is this. When you say Islam is not dangerous, you've never read the Quran. When you say Islam is simply a peaceful religion, you've not read the Quran. You've not understood what the surahs and the Quran state and what is required of jihad. For every Muslim, they must perpetrate, carry out jihad. Jihad is that holy war against all non-Muslims, including Christians and Jews in particular. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I have a question for you. I know Satan's behind this, but do you believe that and George Soros is behind it all, you know, being used?
George Soros has his finger in just about everything that's detrimental for any nation. George Soros' billions and billions and billions of dollars that he's made has been on the basis of going in and buying up currency, buying up control, and watching the currency, watching the capitalist system be overthrown. Then he buys it back for pennies on the dollar. Across the nation today, the overwhelming majority of the state attorneys and the DAs across America that were elected in 2016 and 2020, some in 2024, were elected by dollars spent by George Soros. Fannie Willis funds came from George Soros. Letitia James funds came from George Soros. All that we see today that's standing against Donald Trump by the suits and the cases that are coming into court are for the most part funded by George Soros. It is a foundation that's set up, and in that system for George Soros, he has about 209, last count, could be more now, 209-plus organizations that's structured to get into the warp and the woof, that's the fabric of America, and to undermine it, to tear it down, and ultimately destroy it. And it is my prayer that God will remove him. But if and when God does, he has enough network through his sons that it can still go on in perpetuity for the destruction of America. This is the reason, as Christians, we need to be concerned and care enough to be very, very careful to vet any candidate that we vote for local, city council, state representatives or senators, or the national level. We need to be very careful. So, Terry, it deserves our prayer, our recognition, and we need to keep standing up, looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we enter into this new year. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at another article. It is by Jay Sekulow, and it says, the spreading of Islamic fury targeting Christians in Syria has now claimed 3 American lives, 2 U.S. soldiers, and an interpreter killed, one known as Amazing Man of Faith. It goes on to say, the extent of the tragedy in Syria is staggering. Over 1,500 killed, hundreds executed without any trial, 500 women and girls abducted, sold into slavery. The violence has spread as Islamic drives Christians from their homes, and now the same monsters who butchered entire families, including Christian pastor and 20 of his relatives, have claimed the lives of American patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam is dangerous. We see that's the major thing that's been promulgated in the fraud in Minneapolis and in all of Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand up, look up, and recognize that our redemption draweth nigh. Are you ready to enter into the new year? The only way we can truly be ready to enter into the new year is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Allow him to lead, allow him to guide, allow him to direct, allow him to protect and provide for us as we enter into the new year. That's my challenge. That's my encouragement. That's my hope. The only hope we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.